This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
I've always admired the life of George Mueller as a life of faith. Speaking of how the scriptures impacted him, he confesses, "I practically preferred for the first 4 years of my divine life," that means when he became a believer, "the works of uninspired men to the oracles of the living God. The consequence was that I remained a babe, both in knowledge and grace. And as I neglected the word, I was nearly 4 years so ignorant that I did not clearly know even the fundamental points of our holy faith. And this lack of knowledge most sadly kept me back from walking steadily in the ways of God. For it is the truth that makes us free, as John 8, 31-32 says, by delivering us from the slavery of the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. The word proves it. The word proves it. The experience of the saints proves it. And also my own experience most decidedly proves it. For when it pleased the Lord in August of 1829 to bring me really to the scriptures, my life and walk became very different. And though even since that, I have very much fallen short of what I might and ought to be, yet by the grace of God, I have been enabled to live much nearer to him than before." And what Mueller's saying is what we all know, that it is through the word of God that we're able to grow. Each year after our week of prayer, I try to have some sort of sermon to fire our love for living out our lives according to the scriptures. And this year's no different. So I want you to long for God's word more than you love clarification from your political allies on Facebook. I want you to yearn to know God's heart in the scriptures more than you desire likes of Instagram photos. I hope that your desire to get a fresh word from your father would take priority over checking out the headlines of the media, which they've pushed to the forefront of your mind each day. And even as I've crafted these few sentences, you can see what we're up against. So today then, I want to take a few moments to remind you of what God's word does in our lives. Specifically, my purpose this morning is to remind you that God uses his word to sanctify us. Or to put it another way, your spiritual growth will be fine without social media in 2021. But you cannot grow spiritually without God's word. Now, some of you might think that I'm promoting some sort of practice at the expense of relationship. So like I'm telling you to do something and ignoring the relationship that we have with God. And what I'm hoping that emerges through what I'm saying isn't just Bible intake for Bible intake's sake. No, it's who we get to meet as we come to God's word that changes us. God is the actor. God is the one who's changing us. God is the prime mover when it comes to your growth in godliness. So I am hopefully putting you on tracks that lead you to him. The scriptures are like the railroad tracks that would get you to the Father. You have to drive on those tracks to get to him. It's how he's made himself known. And so one reason I want you to engage the scripture is because we know that God's word is able to make us wise for salvation. Eternal life isn't found by you going outside and looking at the sky. It's not found by you looking at the Grand Canyon and marveling. That is, we just can't walk out and marvel at God's creation and know that he sent his son to save us. But when we come to God's word, we're able to see that there is no way that we can do what's required of us apart from his help. And this is what salvation is, God coming to help us by sending his son for us. So scripture makes us wise for salvation so that we can not only know our need, but we know the one who's saving us. And many of you in this room are saved ones. You have a relationship with God through Jesus, and God uses his word then to thoroughly equip you for every good work. You need God's word to affect you. And this is where we're going today in this sermon. We're going back to that prayer of Jesus that we looked at last Sunday, that we've been meditating on all this week during our week of prayer, that Jesus is loving us to the end of his ministry by allowing us to hear this prayer. And as we hear one particular section of this prayer again, we'll get three insights into how God's word sanctifies us. So let's look at this. John 17, verses 17 through 19. And here's what we read there. "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. So three insights into how God's word sanctifies us. So three real quick points, and I think you all know this is true. So here's the first insight. In verse 17, we get the insight that we are made holy by the word of God. So Jesus prays, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So lest we lose sight of the obvious, Jesus is praying this for us. And he's praying that we would be sanctified or made holy or that we would grow in the truth. And what an amazing request to know that Jesus has prayed this for us. So on one level, we could say confidently that it is God's will for you, that you be sanctified, that you grow. He wants you to grow. He's not content for you to stagnate. Cruise control is not a setting for the Christian life. Jesus is praying that we would grow, and he's praying that we would be made holy, specifically. He also completes the thought by telling us how we're made holy. It's by God's word. God's word is the truth. So remember, in the previous verses, Jesus has prayed, indicating that he had provided his followers with God's word. And the response to their getting it was that the world hated them, just as the world hated Jesus. So part of Jesus' prayer, as we mentioned last time, was that we would be kept from the evil one. And now Jesus prays that we would be made holy by the word of God. Sanctify them, Father, in the truth. Your word is truth. Now, I'm sure you know that God's people have always been formed by the word of God. They've always been formed by what he says, by his words. So think back to Genesis 1. Maybe you're there in your Bible reading plan for the year. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And how did he do this? He spoke. He said, and it was so. So God's word has always been life-giving to his people. And here, the life-giving word comes to illuminate our path in this dark world. God's word helps to set us apart from others. It sanctifies us. It marks us off as his people. His word is truth, and it leads us in that way. So that's the first point. God sanctifies us by his word. He makes us holy by his word. Which leads to the second insight. Look at verse 18. God's word will produce action out of your life. It'll produce action out of your life. As you sent me into the world, Jesus prays, so I have sent them into the world. Now, some of you might be duped by the evil one into thinking that God can grow you and it doesn't produce any action out of your life. That's just not true. It's nowhere taught in the scriptures. Like, be a hearer of the word and a doer. So don't just be a hearer, be a doer. That's the command. And listen to the thought that Jesus makes in his prayer. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. It seems like a strange leap, doesn't it? I mean, wait, Jesus, I thought the world hated people like us who know the truth. Why are you sending us into the world? And so what this is telling us is that God's word at its core is going to produce action of your life. He's going to throw you into situations where you have to act in accordance with the wisdom of his word. God's word at its core has a missional impulse. It's sending you out. It's always going outward. God's promise to his people in the Old Testament was that he would rescue them or save them, that they might be a light to the other nations. And now in the church, he has saved and rescued us and brought us together so that we might be a city on a hill illuminating the dark world with the bright contours of God's glory and his holiness. So one reality is that God's word isn't meant to draw you inward away from others. God's word propels you outward towards others. Now, I know I'm preaching this in a Bible church in our world where it's easy for us to settle in on Bible study as if that's the goal. But I'm at a loss to find any time in Scripture when people were brought in and not sent out. Every time people were brought into the church, they're always sent out. That's what Jesus did with his followers. He didn't just huddle with them and just study all the time and engorge on him. No, he taught them something and then sent them out to live it. The early church gathered people, they equipped so that they could be sent out. This is the impulse of the scriptures. It leads to action. So we have to be careful that we don't love God's word to get away from the point of God's word, which is sending you out to love this world, to love others. I think another reality is that the outward working of the word. So how is God's word growing you to be propelled towards others? How is it moving you towards others? So maybe you're being made holy so that you can exhibit the fruit of the Spirit to a neighbor who will never see it otherwise. They'll see someone who's patient and gentle, and they won't be able to compute how that's happening or why that's happening. And your answer is, well, it's just what God's done in my life to change me. So, I mean, we don't know what God's up to, but God's word will grow you so that you can be propelled to others. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. God's word will produce action outward, not inward. We're made holy by God's word, and it will lead to action out of your life. Well, third and finally, we get the insight in verse 19 that God's word will make you look like Jesus, not some religious weirdo. So I know religious weirdo like isn't in the text there, but look at what the text does say. Jesus says, for their sake, in other words, for my followers' sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in the truth. So I mentioned this last point because the norms of a cultural Christianity, as large as they are here in America, we might be easily miss what Jesus is saying. God's word will make you look like Jesus, not just religious weirdos. So, lest we think we've gotten off the scent of what Jesus is saying, verse 19 continues his prayer saying, for my followers' sake, I consecrate myself that they may be sanctified in the truth. He's still talking about us being made holy by the word. This is what he's still talking about. And why does Jesus need to consecrate himself? Well, because he's the preeminent example. It wasn't as like Jesus was slipping into a bad behavior and he needed to be careful so that he didn't step into sin. No, his consecration was his devotion to do the Father's will, that was going to happen no matter what. Jesus wanted that devotion to be crystal clear so that his followers would be able to walk in his steps, so that they'd be able to follow him. Their days were not going to be easy in this world, and they would be able to follow Jesus with joy because of who he was and what he did. So don't you want to walk like Jesus? Here's how John, one of those followers, would put it in 1 John 2. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. That's how we know we're keeping God's commandments. Not because we're looking weird compared to society. It's because we look like Jesus. He's the standard. Your goal isn't to live up to the standard of what some Christian radio preacher or some television preacher or even what I say. Your standard isn't some code of conduct that's been manufactured by us. Your life is to be about walking like Jesus. So too many of us are enslaved to things that the scriptures have never called us to. Never called us to. And we've made these things in our mind. And so we judge others by those things. And thus we fail to walk like Jesus. But we have the Holy Spirit leading us into the truth. We have the Holy Spirit magnifying Christ in our lives and producing fruit in us that will demonstrate that we're conformed to Christ. Like Colossians 2 says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So is that your life in these days? Coming out of 2020 into 2021, is your life looking more like you're walking in Christ? Are you rooted in him? Do you have deep roots in him, or do you have deep roots in something else? Are you being built up into him? Is he the goal of your life? Is he what you're being built up into? And that last part of Colossians 2:7, abounding in thanksgiving. I mean, are you serious? Well, that's how we know that we're walking like Christ. When we're abounding in thanksgiving, when we're more and more thankful that we get life here on planet Earth, that God has given us more than we deserve. God's word will draw you to look like Jesus, not just some religious weirdo. So in light of this, there's two application questions that I want to close with. One, what's your plan for engaging God's word in 2021? If all this is true, if God's word sanctifies you, if it propels you out and the goal is to look like Jesus, then what is your plan for engaging God's word this year? It's easier than ever for you to engage God's word. There's all kinds of apps that will just read God's word to you. You don't have to pay for those. There's some you can pay for. There's apps that you can read God's word on. So, I mean, maybe that's the reason you need to have a smartphone or not have one. You can just get scriptures. You can get Bibles that have daily readings written in them. You can get plans. We have some of those at the information desk. Just a different plan. We have checkoff sheets. You could just open up your Bible and write out a chapter and meditate on it that way. You could memorize the scriptures. You could meditate on them. You could read them. You can sing them. But what is your plan for engaging the scriptures this year? If Jesus is praying that we'd be made holy by God's word, how will it happen in 2021? What's our plan? And then secondly, which I think gets really to the heart of this text, what actions are you considering for taking God's word out for a spin? In other words, if God's word is meant to sanctify you, I think one of the reasons Jesus is propelling us outward is because it's not going to happen if we're just hanging around people just like us. We're going to need to be out in the world where we're going to face some resistance so that we can see if we really are holy or if we're just like the world, if we're just as selfish and wicked as they are. Or is there a different kind of love that comes out of our lives that looks like Jesus? So what kind of actions, what area of action do you need to grow in? What action might cause you to grow deeper in God's word? Maybe you need to be less judgy and more loving. Maybe you need to know your neighbors better. Maybe that's just a simple thing. You're like, well, I've lived next to them for so long and it's embarrassing that I don't know them. Well, so what, you get a free pass? Just go do it. Go get to know them. Just step out. God's word is propelling you out. Maybe you need to be more driven by mission and less driven by other things. That's not been the case for you. You haven't been driven by the fact that you are sent. You've been living as if you're just isolated and this is how you're to live life. No, live as a sent one. Maybe you've lost sight of the aim of God's word. What actions need to come out of your life in 2021? So in conclusion today, we've seen three insights into how God's word sanctifies us. We're made holy by God's word. God's word produces action out of our lives, and God's word will make us look like Jesus, not a religious weirdo. And since there were also two questions of application, what's your plan for engaging God's word in 2021, and what actions are you considering for taking God's word out for a spin? So as we wrap up, might God's word have an impact and produce a change in you? So for some, I hope this means that you see a God in the scriptures who loves you and who sent his son to save you. For others, I hope you'll pursue God's word more than you do social media. I mean, that's just a simple application. I just find myself just scrolling through Facebook and I'm thinking, what is my soul doing? It's shriveling. You know, I just want God's word, right? And so for others, I hope word-driven action comes out of your life like never before. What would that look like? If the word was driving your actions in this coming year, how would that look? What would need to change? So the reality is that when we live in communion with him and we're being made holy and being propelled out, the world is going to hate us. That's what Jesus has said. And so we return to him. That's what devotions are. That's what that time in the word is. We're returning to him for relationship, for refreshment, for revival, for our souls to be restored. And in turn, what does God do as he restores us and builds us back up? And we have that relationship renewed. He makes us holy and we're propelled back out. This is the great circle of the scriptures. So let's pursue Jesus and let's pursue holiness this year that action for the mission may come and we may glorify and enjoy him forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your word and for working through it to sanctify us. We want to be those kind of people. We want to be shaped. We want to be then propelled. And then we want to look like Jesus. Would you just allow that to be the case for us as we engage your word in this coming year? May it not be just engaging the word for the sake of engaging the word or checking something off a list to say, look what I did. But may it be so that this world would know the hope that is within us. May we be able to show them the love that you've shown us, the grace that you've shown us. So work through your word in our lives in this coming year. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.